Sorry, I have a really dry throat this morning, so
With water?
doesn't really help. So I heard a statement Wednesday, wrote it down. The word of God guards my heart and my world. And it was, and the scripture that we were reading was 1 Peter 1, 5. And the beginning of of this chapter, it talks about that we're the sanctification of the Spirit by the blood of Christ, and we have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
You can just read it, Connie, rather than try to.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just thinking about this morning again, I'm meditating on it. I could just picture how we were with God, in the eternities, and then we
Before,
got
yeah.
before, and then we got seduced by Satan, drug out of heaven. The third of us was drug out. But now we have this lively hope because Christ rose from the dead. If he hadn't risen from the dead, we wouldn't have access back. He had to do it for us to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. And that's probably what got you to thinking you don't have to be in the flesh anymore. But this verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And when I heard that, I immediately began to think about putting on the armor of God. So I want to go to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what God's been revealing to my husband and me, what's been working in me. And it's time to let God take it out. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that's when I heard the scripture in First Peter, I could just see you've got the shield of faith that's protecting us from all the fiery darts that are coming at us and thoughts. And take the helmet of salvation, which is like the completeness, right? All the whole salvation, which is what he's talking about. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So it just became, it was just really real to me. And I'm just thankful for it. Thankful, and I can rest in that hope. I've always tried to war myself, trying to save myself. I'm done with that.
Well,
It doesn't work.
we say that we're done with it, right? But we know it's a process. It's a work of God in us.
It's true.
Because God revealed to Connie this week that Connie came offline and spoke something Tuesday night in the ministry meeting. Well, after that, during the week, God revealed to her that she was speaking the mind of the teller, right? So then she went and looked up in the scriptures what the mind of the teller was, and she was like, oh my God,
It's not good. It's wicked.
is wicked. And yet we do not understand the working of spirits. If we understood the working of spirits, then there's a lot of spiritual wickedness that we wouldn't work in ourselves. Everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
So God's helping us to identify those spirits so that we don't work them anymore. And I mean, when now I don't want anyone to get offended by what I say, because that's not the intent here. Because as much as God loves us, does he still say things to us that we get upset about? And yet we know he loves us, right? In
Rocks our
fact,
world.
yeah, no one loves us more than God. Absolutely no one loves us more than God. Yet he will say things to us that upset us. And sometimes we go into condemnation when we hear those things. And so when I say it this morning, I will say it this way. I am happy for what God did for Connie this week. Because if God's revealing it to Connie, he's going to reveal it to you. And so I'll say it this way. A lot of times when you call me, what do you think's working in your mind when you call me? The
Tell.
teller. That's what's working, the teller. And just by saying that, now, what you could do is go look up in the scripture and see what that mind of the teller is, correct? And Connie could help you with that because she now knows. But the mind of the teller wants to express false prophecy. How about that? That's what it wants to speak. And you know what the problem with that is? You believe it. You believe it.
Well, I can say that I've always looked at my flesh and the inadequacy of my flesh. That's being a teller. That's telling the wrong thing. That's not true. That's not who I am. And I've identified with it all my life. It's horrible.
It's destructive.
It is. It
Yeah,
is.
because that's not who you are. Who are you?
I'm the son of God.
I'm a son of God.
Woman of God, wife of the elder. I mean, there's just so many things
Yeah,
that,
Mary, who sits at the feet of Jesus.
I mean,
All those expressions have been given to you by the Lord Himself.
and I didn't,
And
I
because
believe it.
while I was reading in the parable of the grounds this morning, when we do not understand a word from God, that's how we get robbed of what has been sown. Because of no understanding, we let a word from the Father be robbed from us. We think we understand, but we understand it based upon what? Our own thoughts, our knowledge, and not according to the Spirit. And we don't have patience enough to wait for God to bring the revelation of it to us in truth. And so rather than wait upon the Lord and stay in a thought and let God bring it forth in us, like Connie's done with the teller, we'll run and chase the next thing. Then the next thing, then the next thing. So I said on Wednesday night, I said, we never come to the end of a no, right? We just don't, we don't finish it. We don't let God finish it in us. And it's time for us to allow God to finish these things in us so that we know them. Because it's in knowing them or knowing the truth that it does what for you?
Set you
Makes
free.
makes you free. Without knowing or understanding them in truth, you're not free from it. You're still in bondage to it. So that's awesome.
I
So,
just say one more thing.
yes.
Don't be discouraged if the Lord is showing you something that's working in you,
Yeah.
because I've been, I even read it in the Old Testament. There is a time that we're under the wicked ruler, right? Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, but at the appointed time, God sets us free. But we have to be patient. We have to let God show us. We got to just keep growing in
Well, where
God.
did Jesus grow up?
Well,
In this wicked world.
yeah, he did. Yeah. I was
God
just thinking maybe part of the
sent him
thing.
as a baby into this wicked world so he could see it and save it. It's pretty awesome.
It's just how important it is that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
So when those thoughts come in, I can say, no, that's a lie. I'm a son of God.
Put on your
That's the whole
shield,
point.
your armor.
I've got the armor of God. My helmet is the mind of Christ.
Go ahead. Are you done?
You're done? Thank you, Connie. That was awesome. And I would just pray today that you just have your heart and your ears open to the Word of God, because God has been such a remarkable healer in these last several weeks of what he is doing through the mind of the Spirit and by his faith in Jesus Christ. It's awesome. And we're beginning to absorb it and take it in and know that he is God. And man, I appreciate that so much. And so this morning, I'm going to kind of went back and started it for us in First Peter. I'm going to go back to Galatians chapter 4, where we started the whole thing. And I'm going to start in chapter 3, just so you know, starting with verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian. The King James Version says the law was our what? Schoolmaster until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster or a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Did you hear that? We are all sons of God through faith. So if you don't have faith, then you're not a son of God. If you're a son of God, you have faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, your mind is being translated from flesh to spirit. And spirit is opening up your eyes to see as God sees, beginning to see what God is saying to you as a son. That's awesome. For as many of you, excuse me, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now you're getting baptized even again this morning, correct? It's an eternal work of God. You're just not getting into water once and that's one and done. No, you're being baptized eternally. The doctrines of Christ are eternal works. So that every time you are hearing the word of God, you are being washed by the water of that word, which it says in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. You're being washed by the water of the word to the sanctifying of your vessel. In other words, you are being set apart and being purged. And we spent a lot of time talking about the purging of iniquity, correct? And why does iniquity need to be purged? So that you know sin no more. Because as a son of God, you do not sin. That's in 1 John chapter 3. A son of God does not sin. Well, I have the mind of the son, but I still sin. No. If you still think you're a sinner, you're looking at the flesh and you're not looking at the son. Sonship says that you're not a sinner anymore. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have been a set apart unto a way of life that is now from above and not of the earth. So God is working on us through the baptismal power of Jesus Christ. So we put on the mind of the Spirit. We put on the mind of Christ. We put on Jesus himself. That's how we ended Wednesday night. Wednesday night, it's coming into the consciousness of knowing that as a son of God, he is making us a Christ. That's what he is doing. And yet, it's so hard for us to wrap our minds around the fact that I can live a life without sin, because we see our sin much. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now listen to this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What are you in Christ? You are one. So when Jesus was getting ready in the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's making this prayer, this intercessory prayer for his disciples, the ones that God had given to him, the ones that he did not lose, save the son of perdition. And in making that prayer for them, he asked the Father to make them one as he and the Father are one. Remember that in John 17? And you can go read it again in your time of study, but we don't need to do that this morning. That is the work of Christ in you. That is the hope of his glory in you, that you are becoming one with Jesus Christ. It's awesome. And if you are Christ, then listen to this. If you are Christ, if you belong to Jesus, if you're his possession, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Wow. Was Abraham under the law? No. What was Abraham under?
Grace.
He was under grace or faith because of a promise that God had made to him. So Abraham actually became the father of faith for all those who believe. Well, that's a whole nother story in itself. And we tell it often, but we tell it in parts, right? But as you become baptized into Christ and put on the mind of Christ, all of a sudden that story of God begins to unfold in your mind, and you begin to know why Abraham is the father of faith. Yes.
I've always had a hard time hearing that God is making us a Christ. And I just remembered somebody, you maybe said, Christ was not Jesus's last name. Christ means anointed.
Yes.
God is anointing me.
Yes.
Making me an anointed.
That's what the
one.
Word of God does for you.
So I'm not Jesus having to die for anybody's sins on the cross. Only Jesus could do that.
Only the Lord can do that.
It just made
an aha moment.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because we can read it in 1 John chapter 1 and 2 about the anointing, correct?
I didn't put them together.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you are becoming an anointed one. Isn't that awesome? Chapter 4, verse 1. I mean that the heir, so what's an heir? H-E-I-R, what is it?
Descendant.
Okay, you're the descendant of someone who has a will, correct? You're the descendant of someone who has a will, and you are included in the will. So you're now an heir of that person through the power of the will. Does God have a will? Man, does he ever. Pastor Brian's been ministering the last 3 weeks on the mystery of his will. And he hasn't put them online yet, but when he gets done teaching it, he will. And I can hardly wait to listen to it, because it's the revelation of another mystery. It's pretty awesome. I mean, the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. So there is a time, well, we're going to read it, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So in the will, there is a date set to where you are no longer under tutors and governors. But it's the date set by the father, not by you. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Because some of us don't come to the consciousness of being saved in Christ Jesus until we are old in this life. Some come to it when they are young in this life, but they don't know how to manage it. But you know, even if you come to it being old in this life, you still don't know how to manage it. You don't get it. And so we are kept under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. And once that time comes to us, then all of a sudden the day star arises in our hearts and we are made free from the bondage of the flesh. But until that time, we're under the bondage of the flesh. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the Word of God and experience faith and experience baptism and experience the laying on of hands, experience all those things that God has for us through the Spirit. We get to do it all. But they're not our possession until the day star arises in the heart and we become who God says we are. We're kept. Let me go on. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And there it is. It is God's timing coming to you to redeem you in sonship. And he knows in that hour of redemption that he's going to put you under tutors and governors to raise you up as his son. But Moses, when the time was come, who did God send to Moses to save him out of the bulrushes? Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised in Pharaoh's house for a time. Kept under tutors and governors for a time. But when the fullness of time was come, Moses was on the backside of the desert, tending his father's sheep, right? And what did he see? He saw the anointed one, he saw a burning bush with that was not being consumed. He saw God as the fire. Whoa. He saw a cherubim, a burning one. And he had to turn aside from what he was doing to go and find out what this phenomenon was. And when he stood before that burning bush, it spoke to him. I'm telling you, folks, the appearance that you are receiving in the Word of God, even now, it's speaking to you as a burning one. Because it burns, it sears the mind and the heart to take away the mind of the flesh and to reveal to you the mind of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Was Moses an anointed one? Yes, he was. From that hour, when God was finished talking with him, he was now in the mind of Christ. He was an anointed one. So, when we see the revelation of Jesus Christ, we become anointed of the Father. And Moses still argued with God, well, I get it, but I can't speak. And I find it amazing because for years, always told Rick, well, God, Rick, I don't dream like you do. You know what Rick's response always was?
You will.
You will. Because it's the anointed one. It's the power of the anointing where you begin to dream after the manner and likeness of Jesus, and you begin to see the eternal workings of God, and you become blessed of it. From that hour, Moses was never the same ever again. He was changed. And God granted him his brother Aaron to speak for him. But if you'll follow the story, Aaron only spoke for him once. And after that, Moses knew, I am the anointed one, and I need to say what God says so that it doesn't get misconstrued, so it doesn't become mistaken. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So now, if you are saved and you are a child of God, what does a child of God know? 1 John. He knows who the Father is. So who do you know? You know who the Father is. So now when you can pray knowing who the Father is and what his plan, his will for your life is. Amen?
Amen.
That's a great encouragement. Now, when Brian's messages come out on the mystery of his will, and you get baptized into the mystery of the will of God, I think it's going to change the direction of your thought. Well, actually, I think the direction of your thoughts being changed even today by some things. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. How did you become an heir then? Through the will of God. It was God's will that you become a son. So in what I'm telling you this morning, it's according to the will of the Father that you are a son. It's not your own will. Because your will doesn't even know what sonship is. Your will doesn't know what the salvation of the Lord is. Your will fights against it. Even with all the knowledge you have of the scripture and all the knowledge you think you have of God, it fights against it. I had many thoughts about that this week. Oh, man. Kept me up many a night, tossing and turning. I'm not going to turn to Genesis 6 this morning, but in Genesis 6, it says that the sons of God, did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they liked what they saw. In other words, their desire went out from God and went into the daughters of men. And when that desire went out and they went into the daughters of men, they sold their birthright. They gave up their birthright, John. They left the will of God, took another will, took another desire, and believed in their heart that what God had given to them as an inheritance wasn't what they wanted. Hear me this morning, please. And they went in and conceived sons in those women. And those sons became giants in the mind. Men of renown. Men that boasted of their own works. Or I could say thoughts that boasted of their own works. Thoughts that rose up saying that God wasn't important or needed anymore. We can do this on our own. We can even speak and make it sound like the Father. That's what happened in Genesis 6. We were with the Father before. Hear me now. We were with the Father before, but we saw the daughters of men. And we went in unto them, and we conceived with them. And the thing that they produced in our thoughts was that we could do this on our own. And we did not need the Father in heaven. That's wickedness. Do we understand how many thoughts work our mind over in perception that we think that we can do it on our own? It's, folk, I'm telling you, there are so many thoughts in us telling us that we can do it without God. And we see it in manifestation every day in our possession. And we sell God short because we are selling ourselves long. And it causes us to be disobedient to the word of faith that we have received. And God saw that the heart of man was wicked continuously. Now that's not just once in a while. It was continuously. And God repented that it even made man. That's what it says. That's wicked. But you know what? God, through his eyes of grace, saw a man named Noah, who he knew he could still work with and bring to repentance. So Rick always said, it only takes one thought to save you. Because in you is a thought of Noah, a man who will believe God and walk by faith and not by sight and do what God says. Are you thankful for a remnant this morning? We should be, right? We should be. We look at, what did Cain do? God told Cain and Abel exactly how to worship him. Gave him the promise of his word. You worship me this way, and things will be well with you. Abel did what God said. Cain decided he could do it another way. How did it go for Cain? Not good. Didn't go so well for Abel when Cain decided to do it his own way either, right? Yet Abel's blood still cries from the ground today that he is righteous. Abel's in the eternities of God. Cain cut himself off, even though he sought repentance with tears. How about Jacob and Esau? What did Esau do? He took the same mind as the sons of God who saw the daughters of men. He took the same mind and he sold his birthright for one desire of the flesh. And it took him out. Doesn't sound like God's cutting us a lot of slack here, does it? And the point of my message today is, folks, what we have been given in our inheritance before the Father, an inheritance that's after the will of God that came down from heaven for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should cling to it with everything that we have. Because if we don't, do you know that we, through the filthiness of sin, can change our parable and change the parable of others, not knowing what we are doing? Oh my God. God showed me that this week, and I was like, I'll worship you, Jesus. I worship you and you only, Jesus. That's the message of repentance, folks. And that's why God hath given it to us. It's awesome. It is awesome. Verse 8, Galatians 4. Formerly, when you did not know God, right? We read all this before. You were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now listen, here's the hope. Now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? No way. Wow, no way. Now I'm going to go to 1 Peter again. Chapter 1. Man, the time gets away so fast, doesn't it? And I'm going to start right at the top. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Thank God, right? Who made Peter an apostle?
Jesus
Jesus did. Don't you love it? Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Where did they go every day, John?
did.
They went into the temple, didn't they? To pray and hear the word. Every day they went into the temple to pray and hear the reading of the word of God. Every day. And while they were in the temple, who else knew they were there? Jesus did. Jesus knew they were there. And in the message that they were hearing in the temple, they heard the message that the Messiah was coming. And John the Baptist, they were baptized unto John the Baptist, unto repentance. So their mind was open to receive and to hear the word of the Messiah. And they heard John say that he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and his shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will anoint you from heaven and set you apart unto himself. Folks, sonship, you are being baptized into the anointed word of God to be set apart unto the will of God. To know the adoption as sons and to know the inheritance that God have given unto you. Wow. God's not making this stuff up. It's his will. According to to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the knowledge of God the Father. So is God knowledgeable of what he's doing? In the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded, Connie spoke it this morning, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What's the last time? Is it the revelation of Jesus Christ coming into your heart? The day star arising in your heart? To where you now know who you are as the Christ of God? And that is the truth, folks. Now come with me to Ephesians, and I'll finish up here this morning for your sakes. Chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Because Paul, he's going to say it again. And Paul's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Everything's after the will of God. And we've said that many times, correct? To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. So what happened when you got baptized into Jesus? When you believed in Jesus, what happened? You got blessed. And you're still being blessed. You're being constantly blessed by the word of truth, conforming you into the image of who he is. Remember, last week I told you, in the beginning, God's will, right, was to create you how? In his image and likeness. So, in the word of his power, he's recreating you, creating you again in his image and likeness, which was his desire from the beginning. And it's going to say it. Blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Oh my gosh, in the heavenly places. If we only understood what those spiritual blessings were in the heavenly places, we would never deny the Father ever again. Ever. We would never be sons of God that went out into the daughters of men. Ever. But it had to happen for a purpose. It was the foreknowledge of God for that to happen, so that we could learn the deepness of iniquity and never and be purged by the blood of Jesus Christ and never get drawn away ever again. That's the mercy of God, John.
Amen.
Even as he chose us in him before, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That was his foreordained will, that we would be like him. That was his will, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself. So that's what we just read in Galatians, right? That it was his will to foreordain us to be adopted, to bring us home again, to rescue us out of this evil world, out of our sin, out of a desire to not know him, that he would rescue us out of it and bring us home. That we should be holy. Now, listen, this is the part that becomes so important. That we should be holy and blameless before him. Wow. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Who's the beloved?
Jesus.
It is Jesus. Jesus is the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now, because of the grace of God, What is God bestowing upon you? What did it just say?
The riches of his grace.
His riches. He's pouring out upon you his riches. And it's called the Word of God. Connie said this morning, she's becoming more aware of how important it is that we live and move and know every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's pretty awesome. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now, you can officially begin to say, right, that I'm a child of God and I have no sin. How come I have no sin? What happened to me that I have no sin? I've been washed in the blood, and God has poured out his mercy, his riches upon me, and taken away my sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am sanctified by his blood. I can say it and I can know it. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished. He didn't just, did you hear that? He lavished them on us, John. That's why we use the word baptism, because when you get baptized, you get fully immersed into the riches of his grace. Grace is now upon you. You have put on grace. If you put on Jesus Christ, you have put on grace. You have put on faith. You have put on sanctification. You put on justification. All these things that the Bible says Jesus is, you are becoming. You're becoming holy as he is holy, which is what Peter said to do. Be holy as I am holy. Wow. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. Ooh-wee, doggy. Can you imagine everything in heaven and everything in the earth becoming one in Jesus Christ, knowing all mysteries, knowing the mystery of his will, and knowing who you are in him? Wow. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might do the praise of his glory, might be to the praise of his glory. So in becoming who he says you are, who are you then? How is God glorified? He's glorified by you becoming who he says you are. It's to the praise of his glory. That's awesome. So when you receive the word of God, and when you believe the word of God, and you allow God to put it on you, it's for his praise. It's for his glory. And you know, the angels that stand before the throne of God, what do they sing? What do they pray?
Holy, holy, holy.
Say it again.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Man, folks, the mind of the Father for you, he thinks of you of being nothing less than himself. Can you even imagine that? That's why he's got to strip you of the mind of sin so that you can understand who he is and his desire and his will for you to be like him. Amen. Wow, that's a plan. God has a plan. And he's going to destroy the old heaven. He's going to destroy the old earth. He's going to destroy the devil. He's going to destroy sin. He's bringing you forth as a new creature, and he's going to give you a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven by the power of his will, by the word of his power. Amen?
Amen.
Man. Think on those things for a time today and this week. And Wednesday night, we're going to take it up again. And I'm going to be looking forward to some great feedback in the meditations of your heart when it comes to knowing that you yourself as a son of God and what God is doing for you in the power of his word. Amen. Any questions or thoughts about those things this morning?
So the inheritance, that is being made in the image and likeness of God.
Oh, absolutely. Where he lavishes upon you everything that he is. So you look at the parable of the son that went out, with the prodigal son. Old age, man, it sucks. You look at the parable of the prodigal son, right? Did the father give him his inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
How about the sons of God that went in unto the daughters of men? They traded it for another desire. They traded it for iniquity because they thought it looked better than the will of God. It begins to put our thoughts. When you begin to see it and recognize it, all of a sudden you begin to understand why God's after you, because you begin to understand that your thoughts have been defiled by another will. Another will that didn't belong to the Father. And you can see it in yourself. And thank God, God is God. I'm serious. Because who other than Jesus Christ can put the will of God back in your heart and direct you back to the throne of heaven? Wow, what grace, man. What opportunity we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow.
Pastor Dave.
Anyone online? Yes, Jody.
Pastor Dave, it's perfect closing, because as I was sitting here listening, the desire in my heart was, I want to be a disciple. I need to be a disciple. I need to run to the word of God. I need to run to judgment. I want to be a disciple. And that drive is so loud in my heart today. And so that last phrase that you just closed with was absolutely perfect. That's exactly what it is. I need to be a disciple. I need to run
Amen.
To the word of God.
Amen, Jody. Love to hear that testimony. Thank you very much.
Interesting to me, because last time Pastor Guy preached, he said, you should read Revelation. And I have been, and I have no wisdom on it to speak of. But Revelation 9, it talks about, in a lot of the Bible, God pours out a lot. He pours out many times. And in Revelation 9, he pours out, and a third of the people were killed. But we are getting his blessings. And that's very humbling.
Well, what part of you left heaven?
A third.
A third.
A third.
A third of you yourself, a third of you went out.
And two-thirds is.
Two thirds is still there.
And it says that the rest of the men that were not killed didn't even bother to repent. But he's pouring out to us his riches.
Yes, he is.
And we need to value and appreciate that because
Amen.
he can pour out a lot of things.
You know, a lot of people don't understand when you say that two-thirds of me is still in heaven, right? But you got to quit looking at yourself, because two-thirds of who went out?
Angel?
God. I mean,
One
one-third of God.
third of the
Satan stole a third of God, right?
comes. We're part of him.
Yeah. You belong to the Father, and he's going to get you back. I guarantee it.
Okay. We're here.
We have that guarantee of the Father. The promise of the Father is that we are going back. And you can either make it a day or you can make it 1,000 years. It depends on how you choose to hear the word of the Father, the word of God, and what will you choose to serve. How about that, Tammy? Yeah, John.
So that's why the importance of the man of sin being revealed, because we have other voices that are talking to us that hinder our hearing of the word of God for the growth. Is that true?
Say that again.
So if we have a perception working in our thoughts of God, and God doesn't show us the truth of it, will it delay our growth?
Absolutely.
But
The
then it's our
man of it.
will to choose to stay in what the grace has given to us versus following, chasing after that.
It's the Father's will for you to go into the will of the Father. That's what he is. That's your inheritance. He's willed
Right.
it to you. If you will, you're going to not go into the will of the Father. You're going to choose another.
Yeah.
It was said to me on Tuesday night, how about you just believe what God says? I made a statement, well, my will is to do this. How about you just believe what God says? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we think we're doing the right thing by my will. Get rid of that. It's
It's
disbelief.
so easy to.
Oh, I know,
It's
John.
that's that man of sin being a
it's
good friend
crazy
to
how
you.
easy it's like a friend.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, we've been buddies for a while. I want to just get rid of them.
But we're breaking up.
We're
We're
breaking up.
breaking up with this.
Yeah.
Well,
Sadly,
let's say that
mature.
the sword of truth is breaking the tie between you and the man of sin. Remember, I had that dream. Oh, it's been years ago. I was thinking about this yesterday. And the sword of truth from heaven came down out of heaven and pierced into the earth and went so far into the earth that it began to separate the earth. And in the pits of the earth were the angels that were held in bondage, chains of bondage. And it began to break the chains of even those angels that fell and free them so they could return back to the Father. But without that sword of truth from heaven, it is not possible. You will be locked in your iniquity in the eternities of forever. That's not God's desire. Amen. Wow. So Connie spoke to you something very important this morning, and that is about the spirit of the teller. Think about that. What part of the Bible is that spirit? Is it in the story of God?
It's of another. It's
It's
another
of
will.
another, it's a false prophet.
False prophets, another will.
Yeah. Does God want you to know that other will, and that it's the will of the man of sin, and that it has been your own will far too long. Y'all being pretty quiet.
Oh.
Humbled?
Swords in the sheath.
Huh?
Swords in the sheath.
Yeah, that's a good place for that sword. Because you don't want to cut off the ear of the wrong person.
No.
In fact, if you cut their ear off, can they hear?
No.
Oh, I was just thinking that.
And who stood right before them? Huh? Who stood before them when Peter cut his ear
Jesus.
Jesus was there. And if Peter cuts the guy's ears off, how can he hear? Leave that sword in the sheath. Because there's a sword from heaven coming down out of heaven. That's going to separate the chains of bondage so that those who love God can go home again.
Thanks.
All right. If nobody has anything else, it's a wrap.